जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथ राज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। अंतराक्ष श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 12 वृत्रासुरस ग्लोरियस डेथ टेक्स्ट 20। भवान तार्षिन मायां वै वैष्णवीं जनमोहिनीं यद्विहायासुरं भावं महापुरुषतां गतः भवानतार्षिन् मायां वै वैष्णवीं जनमोहिनीं यद्विहायासुरं भावं महापुरुषतां गतः। Ladies, please. Bhavan, your good self, Atarshit, has surmounted Mayam, the illusory energy. Why, indeed, Vaishnavim of Lord Vishnu, Janamohinim, which deludes the mass of people. Yet, since Vihaya, giving up, Asuram of the demons, Bhavam, the mentality, Mahapurushatam, the position of an exalted devotee, Gataha, obtained. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You have surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. And because of this liberation, you have given up the demoniac mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. Purport. Lord Vishnu is the Mahapurusha. Therefore, one who becomes a Vaishnava attains the position of Mahapurushya, Mahapaurushya. This position was attained by Maharaj Parikshit. It is said in the Padma Purana that the distinction between a demigod and a demon is that a demigod is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, whereas the demon is just the opposite. Vishnu bhakta smruto daiva asuras tad viparyayaha. Vritrasura was considered a demon, but actually he was more than qualified as a devotee, or Mahapaurushya. If one somehow becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, whatever is his position, he can be brought to the position of a perfect person. This is possible if an unalloyed devotee tries to serve the Lord by delivering him in this way. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, Text 18, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha Abhira Shumbayavana Kasadayaha ये अन्ये च पापा यदपाश्रयाश्रयाः शुद्ध्यन्ति तस्मै प्रभ विष्णवे नमः किरातस पुनास आंध्रस पुलिंदस पुलकशस आभीरस शुंभस यवनस एंड द मेंबर्स ऑफ द खसा रेसेस एंड इवन अदर्स एडिक्टेड टू सिनफुल एक्ट्स कैन बी प्यूरिफाइड बाय टेकिंग शेल्टर ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड फॉर ही इज द सुप्रीम पावर. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Anyone can be purified if he takes shelter of a pure devotee and molds his character according to the pure devotee's direction. Then even if one is a Kirata, Andhra, Pulinda or whatever, he can be purified and elevated to the position of a Mahapaurushya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana-shalakaya chaksurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati swapadantikam namaum vishnupadaya krishna prishtaya bhutale shrimate bhakti vedanta swamin dinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। I have a Bhagavad Gita. So we didn't, I had read the purport for text 19 on Saturday, but we didn't discuss it. So I'm going to touch on it a little bit. Thank you. This is Indra speaking after his, after the discussion or after Vritrasura's expression of how he's seeing this whole thing has brought about a little, I guess, transformation or enlightenment in Indra. And Indra is speaking in starting verse 19. He says, O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you're a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, and friend of everyone. So there are some key words in it. He says, Aho Dhanava Siddhosi Yasyate Matiridrishi. So Siddha, he says, you become perfect now. And Bhakta Sarvatmanatmanam Suhrudam Jagadishwaram. The word Siddha, Prabhupada translates as by your discrimination and endurance in your devotional service. So these two are very important assets for a devotee. Discrimination and endurance. Discrimination, particularly in this context, we usually talk of discrimination as, you know, to be able to discern between good and bad, or that intelligence is awakened, that one can discern what is good for me, what is not good for me. This intelligence is a little different, similar category, but a little different. But the discrimination, particularly in this case, is to be able to separate that which is temporary and that which is eternal, or from that which is eternal. And when we don't do so, or we are unable to do so, then everything looks as, or everything looks material. It's called bodily identification. Or say it in a positive, encouraging way, if you will, for us, is as part of our devotional service, wherever we are on the devotional trajectory, we should be cultivating this ability to separate, as they say, spirit from matter. That means we should be able to say, this is material, and this material phenomena or circumstance has some innate characteristics. Dualities, pleasure and pain, happiness and distress, victory and defeat, profit and loss, etc. And this part is spiritual. I am not this body. I am a servant of Krishna. Although I am here, I identify with matter there. And this is the eternal truth, that is just relative truth. And when I involve myself in the relative truths, I will expect certain things to manifest. Happiness and distress, profit and loss, gain, victory and defeat, etc. Dualities are bound to happen. If I operate on the spiritual side of things, then things happen. Even if they manifest within the realm of duality, what I experience will be something different. Exactly what Vitrasura is saying. So Indra is recognizing, oh, very nice, you have that discrimination. And Krishna gives us this sense of discrimination, or the value, the value of this kind of discrimination right in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Before he even talks about God or himself and his material energy and all of those explanations, right in the beginning, second chapter, verse 16, he puts it out there. Nasate vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate satara. That which is eternal is enduring, and that which is temporary does not have that endurance. It changes, it dies, it ends. It is in the realm of duality, etc. And he says, tattvadarshi, a person who can see the distinction, and he can see the reality of spiritual platform or being on the spiritual platform, they can look at these two things, these two phenomena side by side. Which means they know what to choose. They choose to be on the spiritual platform or to do things from the spiritual side. And a person who's not tattvadarshi cannot make that distinction. Just as all of us are conscious living entities, we learn that we are spirit soul and we are carrying around a material body. But pretty much everyone in this world thinks, I am this body. Right? We all think, I am this body. So it's that one who's not tattvadarshi cannot see the distinction between body and soul, or matter and spirit. One who's a tattvadarshi can. And one who can see so has endurance. That endurance is, that he's talking about, is lasting for a long time. It's described that Krishna consciousness or the path of bhakti is a long haul. We're in it, supposedly or hopefully, in it for the long run. So we are meant to set our vision on the long term goal of Krishna consciousness. We say, going back to Godhead, Krishna Prema, however we say it. And in that long haul, we will expect certain things that we don't like. We will see certain things that are uncomfortable, challenging, sometimes really, really challenging. And a person who doesn't have this long-term vision will get influenced by, moved by, and thwarted by the short-term challenges. Therefore, he's saying you have not only discrimination, but endurance in devotional service. That endurance to keep it going should be, and ideally is, fed by what we say enthusiasm. Utsahan and nishchaya, that is confidence, and dhairya, patience. This is where Rupa Goswami says that these three, one who can cultivate, this person finds that their bhakti prasiddhyati, it becomes nourished, it grows. And because of these three, the other three in the list of six have meaning. Sangha Tyaga, Satovritte, there's one more. Tattat Karma Pravartana. Following the principles of Bhakti. Associating with devotees. Moving away from taking materialistic association. These three are impelled by the first three. Utsahan, Nishchaya, Dhairya. And those three, without a spiritual vision of things, they do not last. Utsaha, our enthusiasm goes up one day and goes down the next day or short while after. And we will always notice, whenever we readjust our consciousness or conception of life, of Krishna consciousness, the process of bhakti, etc., our enthusiasm goes back up. That means as soon as there is a spiritual vision of things, however small it may be, even a little light can dissipate darkness. So even a little bit of it, like, oh, I'm a servant of Krishna, enthusiasm is fed. And that enthusiasm, also nishchaya, some confidence that Krishna is there. Ultimately, everything is happening under Krishna's, I guess, jurisdiction and patience. Everything doesn't move according to our desire and will and according to our timeline. This is not in our hands. Utsahan, nishchaya, dhai. These three bring endurance and devotional service. And that's what we want. We want to endure through this lifetime. And for whatever reason, if there is another lifetime where our bhakti can continue, if we go back to a better position of Krishna consciousness. However, whatever is waiting for us at the end of this life, that we can endure the rest of this life to get to that point. And for a person who's experiencing this discrimination and endurance, they have certain principles, or there's certain some things that they hold close to them that actually impels this endurance. And that's given in the purport. Bhagavad Gita is a cluster of verses, 20 to 23. I'm not going to read all of them, but 21 and 22 are really nice. So, here's the Sanskrit. Sukham atyantikam yattat buddhi grahya matindriyam veti yatra na chaivayam stithas chalati tattvatah. And then Prabhupada quotes, yam labdhva chaparam labham manyate nadhikam tatah yasmin stito na dukhena gurunapi vichalyate. And Prabhupada is translating is, this perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. And upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. Beautiful. So this whole idea of, unless we develop that discerning ability to discern something material and I am spiritual, it's a practice, right? It's a cultivation, and it's we're sure to miss it, right? We're sure to miss it one in a thousand. We're sure to get it perhaps one in a thousand times. 999 times we might miss it, like, oh, I'm supposed to be thinking I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm a servant of Krishna. We might miss that, that's fine. But the one of the thousand times that we do get it, it's very fantastic. It brings great realizations. It brings relief of all things. If anything else, we may not get it. It says, this indeed is actual freedom from the miseries arising from material contact. And any one of us, we know, a little bit of freedom from that material contact is very relieving. What to speak of cultivating from there on? Okay, I missed 999. I got it once. Let me try to make it 2 times out of 1,000. Let me make it 3 times out of 1,000. It's just a simple cultivation, conscious, deliberate cultivation each day. And then that you have surmounted this illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. And because of this liberation, you have given up the demonic mentality and have attained the position of an exalted devotee. So this whole process of Krishna consciousness is to revive our original nature, which is now covered by layers and layers and layers of affects, affects, affects of energy. These layers are called upadhis. They're called designations, because we identify with the body. When we say we identify with the body, it also means we identify with the mind. Body means body and mind. So I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm intelligent, I'm dull-headed, I'm very good, I'm no good, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm this, and whatever we think. These are all layers. And actually who we are is this very, very awesome spiritual entity, part and parcel of Krishna, just forgotten. And the whole process of Krishna consciousness is to remove these layers. We don't remove them. We can't remove them. Krishna removes them. But we are willing to have them removed. That is our side. Oh, my dear Krishna, please help me get rid of these layers. And how do these layers go away? Prabhupada particularly focuses that this is possible only by the mercy of a pure devotee. Mahapurusha is Vishnu, and Mahapaurushya is one who is at the lotus feet of Vishnu. So when we come in contact with Mahapaurushya, we also become like that. Like when an iron rod is put in fire, it takes on the properties of fire. Just as there is fire already in wood, but you need the influence of an external fire to bring out the fire that's in the wood. Krishna Bhakti is there in everyone's heart. Every living entity has this. All we need is an external contact to awaken it. And that external contact is this Mahapaurushya personality, pure devotees. Now one may say, well, that's for really, excuse me, that's for really elevated persons. But what about those who are very badly steeped in the material energy? In fact, they may be severely atheistic or completely against any semblance of interest in anything higher. So Shukadeva Goswami denies that to say, Kirat hunandra pulinda pulkasha abhira shumbha yavana khasadaya. Gives a whole list of personalities that are disqualified. Kirata. So in that purport to 2.4.18, Prabhupada gives description of each of these categories of personalities. Who are the Kiratas? Who are the Hunas? Who are the Andras? The Pulindas, the Pulkashas, the Khasas. Very interesting. All these personalities are living on the earthly planet, and they have a particular region where they live. It says somewhere in Mongolia, Khasa. Khasa race are those persons who have their mustache separated. Like, here goes this, etc. It gives very interesting. Means basically that those are the races where there is absolutely no interest or even a concept of something higher. Forget about God. Even something higher, not there. But if they contact a pure devotee, even they can be fully liberated. So here he says, ye anyecha, and etc. Anyone else that might be out there like that. Ye anyecha papa, meaning with such sinful condition. Yad apashrayashraya, one who takes shelter of one who's taken shelter of Krishna. That means the pure devotees. Shuddhyanti, even they become purified. This is guaranteed. That is why we all have hope. We may say, I come from Brahman family. That Brahman family doesn't have any meaning nowadays. In the modern context, the so-called caste Brahmanas are worse than anyone else. Why are they worse? Because their so-called Brahminical stature is simply for making money. Or for making money like Shudras. And our hope is that we are at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and spiritual master. Yad apashrayashraya. That is the hope. Then whatever is our disqualification, really it doesn't matter. Beyond a point. It does show up once in a while. But it really doesn't matter in the long-term vision of life. So there are many stories. You can see in Prabhupada's life how he transformed. He has the transforming potency. Narada Muni coming in contact with Mrigari the hunter and transformed him to such an amazing personality who from half-killing animals went to not even hurting an ant. Or Ratnakar, who was a highway dacoit. He would ambush people and rob them of their wealth. And once in a while cut off their fingers and make a garland of fingers. That way he has a little count of how many people he has robbed. And when he met Narada Muni, Narada Muni's transforming potency was so strong that he became Valmiki and later wrote the whole Ramayana. Like that, one after the other. So many personalities. And in all the different, I guess, traditions, even if you want to expand it, in all the different traditions, there are these personalities who have such a transforming touch and potency. Not to speak of our own Srila Prabhupada. So many people, whether they were guised under, you know, being highly intellectual or guised as completely, you know, out there, Prabhupada had a transforming potency. Because those who are so-called highly educated with 2 PhDs, they can be very atheistic. And Prabhupada made them wonderful devotees. Sadaputa Prabhu, etc. And on this side of the continuum, absolutely persons who couldn't focus their eyes on anything. They used to drool while they were standing up and they were so intoxicated, sometimes even mentally challenged. Srila Prabhupada would transform them. One of my favorite stories is about Crazy Pete. In the Los Angeles temple, there was one person who was, all the devotees called him Crazy Pete because he was like that. And he didn't know what was night or day. His hair was always, you know, disheveled. He kind of reeked of bad smell. He used to drool. And he was seemingly intoxicated, couldn't do the basic things that most of us can do. But he would like to be around the temple. And he would always sprawl in front of the steps that Srila Prabhupada would come down from. So once he was there and Prabhupada was coming down and the devotees asked him, move aside, please. And Prabhupada said, it's okay, let him be. So they complained to Prabhupada, you know, such and such. And particularly in his case, Srila Prabhupada said, he's a good boy, let him be there. And so the story is narrated by Giriraj Maharaj. And then Giriraj Maharaj left Los Angeles, went to Boston, and then from there to India and established the whole Juhu Temple, etc. And after a long time, came back to LA. I was happy to meet all the devotees. And, you know, as sometimes we say, oh, where's that Prabhu? Where's this Prabhu? I said, oh, where's Crazy Pete? And so the devotees said, oh, he left the temple. Like, oh yeah, you know, we didn't think he would make it anyway. But the actual story is that he had left the temple, somehow found his way to Vrindavan. By just that little glance of Prabhupada, then it's all right, let him be there. That accommodating nature of Srila Prabhupada, that he, everything changed for him. All his disheveled hair went away, the drooling went away, the eyes became focused. Intellectually, he became sharp and reached Vrindavan and later became initiated by Srila Prabhupada as Kushakrata Prabhu, who wrote all those Goswami books from Sanskrit into English. And he became a Sanskrit scholar, recently left his body a few years ago. That it had such a transforming potency. From nothing to be able to dwell or delve into the Goswami's Sanskrit literature and translate them into English. Fantastic. Shuddhyanti tasmai Prabhu Vishnave Namaha. When we hear pastimes like these, we have hope. We have hope. We may not be like Crazy Pete, but we are crazy in a different way. As Prabhupada would say, who's crazy? He said the materialist would say the devotees are crazy. And the devotees would say the materialists are crazy. So who's to decide? So the devotees are crazy on the basis of knowing we are not this body. The materialists think they are this body. Actually, they are crazy. So we're all crazy in some way because we are identifying with this body and mind. And we are hoping that the grace of the spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas will come upon us so that transformation will genuinely happen. And how do we know transformation is happening? Well, among other symptoms, at least two symptoms in the context of this pastime is that there is that discrimination and endurance. We're able to continue that. See things from different perspective, from the perspective of the soul. Okay, any comments, questions, turns?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for class, Prabhu. I have a two-part question in regards to what we were reading today in class. It says in Prabhupada's purport, it talks about how a devotee or someone who's has a demonic nature who can attain the position of an exalted devotee.
Yes.
So my question would pertain to the lines of how does someone have demonic nature or demonic qualities, but they can still be considered a devotee. And the reason why I asked that question, because I was thinking about the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 30, where it says, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. So, in conclusion, would it be someone's will that possibly can, I guess, make them a devotee and that changes them? Or is it the qualities that that person has, like maybe from, you know, some karma or some previous contamination? How does someone become a devotee from that demonic nature?
Describes that for the seed of bhakti to germinate in the heart, two things are required. One is a potent speaker or giver of bhakti, and a potent receiver. And he gives two, I guess, analogies, just as if you are trying to plant a seed in a garden, you need the seed to be potent. You also need the ground to be fertile. Even if one is missing, the seed will not germinate. Another example he gives is, if there has to be conception, the man has to be potent and the woman has to be fertile. Only then conception can happen. So both are there. The pure devotee acts to extend his mercy, and the poor devotee has to receive the mercy. So receiving it is within our capacity, and giving that mercy is within the pure devotee's capacity. So pure devotees are giving, and it is up to us as to the extent of our receiving it. So to the extent we receive that mercy, that conditioned demoniac nature is transformed. What is the demoniac nature? Simply, we're competing with Krishna, perhaps even unknowingly. We're competing with Krishna, simply that we're enjoying the facilities of this world. And the unfortunate thing is that we may not even know that. And we'd say, hey, had I known that, maybe I would not do it. But that's an excuse. And in the sense that life after life, we have wanted to forgotten Krishna, and so that forgetfulness is very active. And the potency of a pure devotee or contact is to remove that forgetfulness. Oh, really? I'm using Krishna's property? Oh, I did not know that. That's the point of transformation, if you will. So it's receiving as well.
So what I'm getting from what you're saying is it comes down to reciprocation. Like someone has to be willing to transform their nature.
Correct.
And they also have to be receptive to receiving that knowledge. And someone who's in a superior position has to give them that mercy, right, which comes through the story that you told us with Prabhupada, is looking at someone, going back to the verse in Bhagavad Gita, is their conviction, it keeps them grounded. So even though they're not at a specific stage, they can be at another position just based off of that determination.
Correct. Okay. Compassion has a unique quality, that it is highly forgiving. Or quality doesn't exist without the person. A compassionate person has a quality that they are highly forgiving. And their forgiveness is to such a degree. But Krishna says, even if someone performs the most abominable thing, still, if their determination to put themselves back on track is strong, I consider them a real sadhu. What's the second part of your question? It became merged. Okay. Jitendra Prabhu? Karunanidhi Prabhu? First, Jitendra Prabhu.
This verse 2:4:18.
Yeah.
It's kind of a famous verse.
A very famous verse, yes.
I remember the Huns. That's what that's talking. The Hunas,
yeah.
And I believe most of these groups of people are from Europe. The
Andhras are from India.
Pardon me?
The Andhras are from India. The word right after that, after the Huns.
Okay.
Andhras. I come from Andhra. You can tell, right?
Attili was the leader of the Huns. I think he was from Yugoslavia, but I'm not sure. Maybe somebody from Europe might know. I remember people mentioning that, you know, when this first came up, Attili the Hun.
That purport Prabhupada gives specifically where each person comes from, or each race comes from.
So we just look at the Bhavatam from the second canto and find it.
Yeah, in that purport,
well,
it gives
we don't,
like details a little bit. I mean, not like particularly Attila and all that.
It might be more elaborate in the original, you know, second canto. I have to check, but, you know, thanks.
Prabhu, I remember that in Nectar of Devotion, there is one Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentioned about Mayura Dhaja. Mayura Dhaja are the lowest among the, you know, human society. Still, they can be purified by initiation process, something.
Good. You just wrote your exam yesterday, so you remember.
Yeah. And also, one more thing from Nectar Devotion, that I think there is a discussion between Prahlad Maharaj and his father, that how devotee's heart is just like a crystal stone, and whatever you put in front of it would reflect back. And so when we contact with the devotee, then whatever their character, that will be also reflected back to us by their association. As well as, thank you. Thank you.
Niladripa, to your right.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I was reading the translation of this verse, and it says that it seems like Indra has realized the position of Ritrasura.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has surmounted the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu. I'm wondering, why is he not able to take shelter of Ritrasura, and at the same time, how did he recognize that he has actually overcome the illusory energy?
Indra is not an ordinary Prabhu. He's a very exalted Prabhu. So he has the ability to discern and understand and recognize who's who. And why he didn't take shelter of Ritrasura was discussed in Saturday's class. I don't know if even the thing got recorded or not. But the point particularly on Saturday's class was understanding the will of Krishna and acting according to the will of Krishna. So Krishna's will was that Vritrasura, who was punished by Parvati, Chitraketu was punished by Parvati to become the demon, although he was on his way to Godhead. So Krishna is removing that block so that this body will perish and he'll go back to Godhead. And Indra understands that. So he's participating in it. So he will kill that body and relieve that soul to go back to Godhead. So to know what is Krishna's will is important. That is the art of Krishna consciousness. Just as Krishna had asked Arjuna to fight the war and relieve the earth of this burden, he understood that, because he could have said, oh, I have become a devotee, non-violence. He only said in Bhagavad Gita, Adam Bittam Amanitam Ahimsa Marjavane. But he understood. Ahimsa is to act according to Krishna's will. That is Ahimsa. So naturally he's going to do what is his side of Krishna's will.
Prabhu, it seems that you were mentioning that we should look at long-term goals of Krishna consciousness, but over here it looks like Indra is caught up in the short-term goal.
Yeah, that is why Vritrasura is preaching to him. And after this preaching, now he's understood. Oh, how wonderful you are. You're such an amazing person. This hinders humility to accept the truth. But here's a person who's actually fighting against me and all the demigods, but he's actually more exalted. Very great person. And he's wishing him, may you become a Mahapaurusha. He's speaking very gratefully and also very glorifying it. What a position Vritrasura has attained. And he's getting the honor of hearing from him. Like that. Okay? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad.